we'll live with the times, you know? Okay, let's see. Amar of Yehuda Bereder of Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Darav. Very famous teaching. Maseches Tanis Chavtes Amad Aleph Anto Chavtes Amad Beis. Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, said in the name of Rav, Kishem Shemishenichnas Av Mematin Besimcha. Just as, when Av enters, we decrease our joy. Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha. So too, when other enters, we're Marbin Besimcha. However, it's an interesting shaila, actually, the post can talk about this year. Since you have a double Adar, so does this take effect in the first Adar? Right, is it only in the second Adar? All right, it's Kedai to be Machmir, no? Be Machmir, like both. Two Purims, two Adars, more Simcha Bayirin. No, nothing's lost by doing that. But certainly today, Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, certainly today, there is a responsibility and an opportunity to what? To be Marbin B'Simcha. Tzadikim say, what's the comparison? Why does it have to say, Kashem Shemishenechnas Av, Kach Mishenechnas Adar? Why do you need that contrast? Why do I have to say, oh, just like you're sad in Av, so too you're happy in Adar. Why do I need to contrast them? Why couldn't the Gemara just say, when Adar arrives, it's a happy month? Why do you need to create this contrast? What do you think? Yeah?
Maybe like measurements, like in the same degree you would be...
Okay, and therefore an Av. You're saying it's supposed to. Oh, interesting. So whatever Simcha was lost in Av, that's interesting. That's interesting. Like to reset the. Okay, interesting. Yeah.
I feel like there are other factors that are more sad, and why would
you need
to like further put down Av?
For sure. So what's the contrast? I think the simplest answer probably is that just like in the month of Av, there's a progression of sadness, there's a process of sadness, right? Just as in the month of Av, there's like a progression. First we have Tammuz, right? Tammuz is the lead up to Av. Tammuz is already pretty heavy. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, we start the 3 weeks. Then you get to Rosh Chodesh Av, and you have the 9 days. Then you have the week of Tisha B'Av, Shua Shechalbo, right? If you're Svardi, you don't like get started till then. But by Ashkenazim already, you know, 3 weeks, 9 days, you know, Shua Shechalbo, Tisha B'Av itself, the intensity of the sadness is increasing. So you could say Pashut, the same thing is true in Adar. In Adar, it's not just supposed to be, you know, okay, so we turn the dial up a little bit in Adar. With each passing day of Adar, we're supposed to crank it up a little bit more. The simcha is also supposed to grow each day of Adar. Right? Mishnechas Adar, Marbin, and each day, not just at the entrance are we Marbin, but throughout the process of Adar, we're Marbin b'simcha. We keep increasing the joy. Okay, there's more to say about that. Maybe we'll come back to it a little later in this year. But that's the Avodas Hayom. That's our mitzvah today. To be Marbin b'simcha. To enjoy, to be b'simcha. Says Rav Papa, Amar Rav Papa in the third line, Hilkach, therefore, Bar Yisrael, the Islay Dina Bahade Nachri. If a Jew has a court case, he has a din, he's summoned to din with a non-Jew, has a court case with a Nachri, Lishtamet Mine Ba'av, he should try to avoid it in Av, try to get the court date pushed off. Deria Mazale, because his mazal is bad. Av is not a good time. You don't want to be put on trial in Av. Says the Gemara, but make himself available in Adar. That's a good time. If you have to deal with something, right, that you're maybe nervous about, Adar's a good time to try to work it out. You know why? Debari mazale, because your mazal is strong. Your mazal is strong. It's a healthy month. Good things by Jews. The mazal of the month of Adar is strong. The truth is, to say it even more honest, we're in Adar Sheni. Every month has a mazal. Do we believe in mazalos? Do we believe in astrological signs? Do we believe in a certain astrological order that impacts the energy of the month? So the answer is yes and no. On the one hand, we say ein mazal Yisrael. Jewish people are not bound by mazal. We're not subservient to mazal. Right? We're not beneath the mazalos. At the same time, there's such a thing as a mazal. Happens to be, the Gemara says, Adar is a good mazal. But the truth is, the 13th month of the year, what we're in right now, Adar Sheni doesn't have a mazel. It's really, the 13th month is the mazel of the Jewish people. You know why? Because Ein Mazel Yisrael, the 13th month, doesn't have a mazel. So it taps into this reality that we're not bound by any of the regular rules. So if in the month of Av, there's a certain negative energy that sometimes drags us down, in Adar in particular, it's the most gevaldic month. It's the best month. Now Rashi says something very interesting. I want to just show you what Rashi says. Famous Rashi. A lot has been written about this Rashi. Rashi says on the words, Mishenichlas Adar, Rashi says something unusual. Yemei Nisim Hayu Li Yisrael Purim UPesach. So what do you want to say to Rashi? You want to say Rashi? Two words. Slow down. Right? Purim UPesach. Right? You know, my kids are still working out their Purim costumes, right? Can you imagine what my wife would do to me if I asked her, like, oh, like, so when are we turning over for Pesach, you know? Like, whoa, hold on. We got to figure out Shalach Manas first. Like, slow down a little bit. Why does Rashi say, Mishenechlas Adar? These are times of Nisim for the Jewish people, Purim and Pesach. Purim and Pesach? We're getting to Pesach already. We're running to Pesach. But what's Rashi revealing to us? What's Rashi revealing? Does Rashi saying that Purim is the beginning of an awesome process of Geula. Right? That's why when there's a leap year, when do we have the real Purim, if you could say such a thing? Pesach. Closer to Pesach, right? Why? The Gemara says, to be somech Geula leGeula. In other words, there's a relationship between Purim and Pesach. Purim is a Kadosh Baruch Hu saving us, behester panim. Everything's hidden. Shem's name is not in the Megillah. But then by Pesach, we'll be seeing open miracles. Right? Eser Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, Tias Mitzrayim. But Rashi's saying that it's a process. In other words, these days are just growing and growing and growing. It's just getting better and better. Right? More and more miracles. Tzadikim say, I once read from one of the current Boyaner Rebbe said from one of the earlier Boyaner Tzadikim, that Kishem Shemishenechnas Adar Marbin Besimcha. I love this line. Kach mishenechlas Nisan Marbin Be'emuna, that's what he says. Right? One of the Boyana Rebbes said that just like when the month of Adar arrives, we increase our joy, when Nisan arrives, we increase our emuna. That's what the Seder is. The Seder is a night of faith. Right? But when we celebrate what it means to be a Jew on Purim, and we see the salvation of Hashem even in Hester Panim, right? So it increases our emuna, and then we keep building on that on Pesach. And we keep building it. Okay, so we have a mir of simcha in Av. We have a riboy of simcha in Adar. Right? Again, the Boyaner Rebbe said we have an increased amuna in Nisan. So Chavetz Chaim said. Chavetz Chaim said the way that we look forward to Mashiach in Nisan is different the rest of the year. Because the Gemara says that we were redeemed in Nisan. And we will be redeemed again in Nisan. So the Chavetz Chaim said, you have to look forward for Mashiach's arrival every day. You have to always be ready for Mashiach. But the Chavetz Chaim said, when the month of Nisan arrives, around Pesach time, you have to view it as, what the Chavetz Chaim said, a Safik Shakul. 50-50. In other words, any second, I'm as confident Mashiach's going to come the second as I'm concerned that maybe he won't. Right now, I'm saying, like today, how am I? All right, maybe there's a 2% chance Mashiach will come. Again, halavai, I should feel 100% chance. Right? But I have to at least believe there's a 1% chance today. In the month of Nisan, the Chavetz Chaim said, a Jew has to live, because it's his man of Geula, with the realization that it could happen. It's as likely to happen as it not happening. Right now we feel like, okay, it's hard to imagine it could happen today. That's not proper. That's saying that's right to live that way. But okay, that much. But in Nisan, we mamish believe it's going to happen. Okay, so Chavetz, but I want to learn, since today is Rosh Chodesh Adar, I want to learn Mishnechlas Adar, Marbin Bitfila. That's what I want to learn today. Mishnechlas Adar Marbin Bitfila. Because if I were to ask you, what is the main lesson of Purim? Now, I know that's a hard question to answer. Maybe it's an annoying question. You know what question I don't like when people ask me? Rebbe, what's your favorite sefer? Come on. It's ridiculous. That's an impossible question. Right? Would you ask someone, you know, what's your favorite sefer? Well, it's not fair. Right? It's not a, what's the main lesson of the Megillah? There's so many lessons of the Megillah. Okay, but in a certain sense, if we can say such a thing, the main lesson of the whole Megillah is tefillah. Which is why we have to get ourselves ready for Purim, because Purim is an awesome day. You've all heard it before. You've probably seen like Rebiederman clips or something about it. Right? You've read some Torah Wellsprings. You've heard that it's a big day for davening, but it is. It really is. Purim is an awesome day for getting your tefillos answered, and we have to believe in that. Part of the reason tzaddikim even tell the whole mashal, part of the reason we get drunk on Purim is because Hashem is scared that if we have too much awareness, we're gonna ask for things that Hashem's gonna have to give it to us. So Hashem's getting us drunk on Purim. Hashem's trying to distract us from davening a little bit. Sounds like a crazy thing to say, but that's how potent the koach of tefillah is on Purim. Okay, so how do we know this? How do we know that tefillah is the main lesson of the Megillah? So listen to this unbelievable briskerov. The Halakha briskerov. Okay, in source number 3, the Chedushe Maran HaGriz HaLevi, Ala Torah in the back, he says the following idea about Purim. It's an unbelievable idea. First of all, who's the Brisker Rav? What's his relationship to the Rav?
Great.
To Rav Soloveitchik? Who's the Griz? Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik? Revelvel Soloveitchik? His uncle. His uncle. Who's the Rav's grandfather? That's his great-grandfather who he's named for. That's the Beis HaLevi. Who's his grandfather? His great-grandfather was Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik. That's who he's named for. Rav Chaim Brisker. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is his grandfather. Who's Rav Soloveitchik's father? Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And who's his uncle? Rav Elvel. Rav Yitzchak Zev. Right? Often, again, many of them were known as the Brisker Rav in their time, but when we, you know, when you say the Brisker Rav, usually you mean the Grizz. Right, Rav Yitzchak Zev. Okay, Rav Elvel. Okay, so here's what he writes. B'piyut Shoshanas Yaakov. We're going to sing a song, a beautiful tefillah, a beautiful song, right after we read the Megillah. And it says in that tefillah, Isa, it says there, Chua sam ha'isa lanetzach, v'tikva sam b'chol dor v'dor. Chua sam ha'isa lanetzach, v'tikva sam b'chol dor v'dor. Their chua, their salvation, is lanetzach, is always available. Hashem is always saving us. Or maybe you can even read it that the salvation of Purim is itself eternal, because Purim is the Yom Tov that's not going to be batel. V'tikva sam b'chol dor v'dor. And therefore a Jew lives with what? With tikva. What's tikva? Hope. We're hopeful in every generation because we know that Hashem will save us. It's going to work out. Lehodia. Lehodia. To make it known. Shekol koivecha lo yevoshu v'lo yikalmu lanetzach. What are we singing? Lehodia, to make it known that all of your hopes, lo yevoshu, are not going to be a busha. It's not going to be an embarrassment. You're not going to wake up at the end of days and realize, shoot, I bet on the wrong God. I bet on the wrong team. I stuck with Hashem. I stuck with Klal Yisrael. No, don't worry. You may have embarrassing moments along the way, but sof kol sof, eventually, you're not going to be embarrassed that you bet on Hashem. You put your chips down with the Rabbono Shel Olam, you're not going to be embarrassed. Lo yevoshu. V'lo yikalmu. It won't be a bushin. It won't be a klima. It won't be a disgrace. It won't be a source of shame. Right? Shekol koivecha, that those who hope in you, those who rely on you, Hashem, lo yevoshu v'lo yikalmu lanetzach, will not be eternally embarrassed. Again, there may be some hard moments along the way. But anyone who bet on you, Rabbono Shel Olam, kol achosim bach, all those who what? Who seek refuge in you, all those who seek protection from you, Hashem, will not be ashamed, will not be embarrassed. However, the Brisker Rav wants to understand why is this the song that we're singing right after the Megillah? To make it known that you won't be embarrassed for betting on Hashem? Says the Brisker Rav, v'tvua mas shaychas shel koivecha lo yivoshu l'shoshanas Yaakov. What exactly is this song about? So he answers based on an unbelievable Rambam. The Rambam tells us, I want to tell you what the purpose of reading the Megillah is. And reading the Megillah is really, in many ways, yes, there's Mishloach, Manos, Matar, Savyonim, and there's a big Suda, Mishnah, Enachanami. But in a certain sense, the essence of Purim is being able to hear the Megillah once again. Says the Rambam, you know what happens when we read the Megillah? Here's the point of reading the Megillah. The Rambam in the Hakadama to the Minyan HaMitzvos HaKatzar. When the Rambam put together his 613 mitzvos, he wrote shorthand notes at the beginning, a short version of it. And he writes there, in describing this mitzvah derabanan of Kriyas HaMegillah, he says the following in the fourth line, Vizel Leshono. Vitzivu Likros HaMegillah Ba'onasa. There's a tzivoy to read the Megillah in its proper time. Kedei, so that, what's the goal? Lahazkir Shvachav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu U'teshuos She'asalanu, to thank Hashem, to sing the praises of Hashem, to recognize the awesome salvations that Hashem provided for us. Vayakarav L'Shavaseinu, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always ready to respond to our cries. Kedei Levarcho L'Halalo. And then the Rambam writes, listen to this, U'kedei Lehodia. The same word that we say in Shoshan as Yaakov, Lehodia. Right? We sing that, we stay on that word. Lehodia. Why are we so into that word? I'll tell you why we're so into that word. We're so into that word because that's the essence, that's the takeaway of the whole Megillah. What's the Lehodia of Kriyas HaMegillah? What's the message? What's the announcement? Lehodia. What's the Pirsumei Nisa? What's the Pirsumei Nisa? What's the Lehodia? What do we want people to know? When you walk out of the Megillah, what have you learned? You know what you've learned? There's an unbelievable Rambam. Look at these words. Kedei Lehodia Ledoros Habayim. So that all future generations should know. And that's talking about us. After 2,000 years of Hester Panim, living in dark times, right? Trying to fight off what the Megillah calls Machsheves Haman, like we learned last week, the suffix of Amalek that creeps into our mind. However, what's the gematria of Hester Panim? We're living in a period, that's how we refer to this time, Hester concealment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding from us. He's there, obviously, we have to find him. But we're living in a zman of unbelievable Hester Panim. Hester Panim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding his face. He's still there. When a little kid goes like this and says, you know, you can't see me, or like, just because you're covering your face doesn't mean you stop existing. Right? What's the gematria of Hester Panim? 665. And Panim is how much? 180? So, what's our total? 845. Okay. Okay, now let's do Machsheves Haman. And that's how the Gemara refers to the whole ideology of Haman. Whole, I don't know, what would you call it? Hamanic way of thinking? The Hamanic thought process? You have to make it sound like, you know, scholarly. Yeah, what's Machsheves Haman? How much is Machsheves? Machsheves is 650. No? 750? Yeah, 750. Okay, that's better. And how much is 95? So what do we got? 845. Gevaldik. All right, so fresh gematria for this year. Machsheves Haman is gematria Hester Panim. Why? Because the whole Haman ideology is that Haman wants to convince you, if you can't see God, then he must not exist. How do you know tefillah works? Why would you daven so much? Did God ever talk back to you? Ever? Your whole life? I'm 42 years old. Ever? How many times have I prayed in my life? Have I ever once heard the voice of God responding to me? Says the Rambam, you know what the Lehodia of the Megillah is? This is such a gevaldik part. The Rambam says, "Kidei." Well, I'm reading where it's bolded. "Kidei Lehodia Ledoros Habayim, that future generations should know." She'emes ma'ashiv techanu ha-Torah. That what the Torah has guaranteed, has promised, the haftacha of the Torah is true. What's the guarantee? What's the promise of the Torah? What's the haftacha of the Torah? Like it says, Umi goy gadol asher lo elokim v'chulu. Has there ever been mi goy gadol? It's a pasuk in Devarim, Perek Dalet, pasuk Zion. Is there any other nation? What's the continuation of the pasuk? We need the rest of the pasuk. The Bishkirov assumes for sure you know the pasuk. And what if we don't know the pasuk? What if we don't know the pasuk? Mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elav. Is there any other goy, any other nation that has what? An Elohim, a God that is krovim elav, that is so close, that is so available. Kashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. Like God is so available and ready to listen to us when we call out to him. However, it was doomsday. The Holocaust was all in place. And what did the Jews do to win? First and foremost, they prayed. They got together in the davened. Leich chanos kol yehudim. They got together in the davened. Says the Rambam, the lehodia of the Megillah, the takeaway of the story. When you walk out of Kriyas HaMegillah, and that's why we sing after the Megillah, Shoshanas Yaakov, we sing lehodia. Make sure you got the main message. The main message of the Megillah is, guess what? Tefillah actually works. That's the takeaway of the whole Megillah, says the Rambam. Lehodia, to make it known that the promise of the Torah is true, namely that when we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He actually listens. We don't always get exactly what we want. Let's be mature about this. It's not how it works. Just because you ask for it doesn't mean you get it. But to know that Hashem is responsive, He's listening, Hashem is attentive to our tefillahs. That's the lehodia. That's the lehodia. That's an unbelievable takeaway from the Megillah. To know that tefillah actually works. Lehodia, to make it known. The Rambam's lashon, lehodia. That's the lashon that we have in our Shoshanas Yaakov. Lehodia, to know that if you hope in Hashem, You're not wasting your breath by talking to Hashem. Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kave el Hashem, Chazak v'yametz libecha v'kave el Hashem. It's one of my favorite psukim. Kave el Hashem, kol koivecha lo yivoshu. Kave el Hashem means what? Put your hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then what do? If you feel like your tefillah wasn't answered, if things didn't work out the way you wanted, you know what you do? You dust yourself off. Chazek v'yametz libecha. You strengthen yourself. What do? Kave el Hashem. Do it again. Why? Because kol koivecha lo yivoshu lo yikom lenetzach. Your hopes are not in vain. So if it seems like it wasn't going, so put a little more hope into it. Put a little more kave into it. Kave el Hashem. If it didn't work, do it again. You should know that it's going to work. Don't become despondent. Don't lose hope and say it's not going to work. Tzadikim point out, what's the gematria of kave el Hashem? Kave el Hashem is 168. What happens if you kave el Hashem and then you feel rejected, and then you have the courage and the strength and the resiliency to kave el Hashem a second time? What happens when you have kave el Hashem plus kave el Hashem? 168 times 2 is 336. Gematria Purim. Purim. Tzadikim say, when you're kave el Hashem, and then you feel like, whoa, hold on, Haman's getting more and more. Acharad var me'ela gidol ha-melech ha-chashverosh es Haman. Haman seems to be growing in prominence and power and authority, and you're scared what's going on here. Things are trending in the wrong direction. You know what you do? You try again, kave el Hashem. And if you keep kaveing al Hashem, you keep putting your hope in Hashem, then eventually you get the Yeshua. Because kol koivecha le'yivoshu le'yikom le'netzach. However, we just had it this past Shabbos. We read Parshas Truma Tetzaveh. We build the Mishkan. And then all of a sudden, Vayakal Pekud, they were back to building the Mishkan again. What's up, Shat? What do you need Vayakal Pekud? A lot of Torah asks this question. What's the point of a Vayakal Pekud after you already had a Truma Tetzaveh? What are we still busy with the Mishkan? We're going over the measurements again, the donations again. What are we doing? So, Reb Lazer Geldzahler, he was a big tzaddik, awesome person. However, I always say it's my second favorite biography. The biography of Reb Lazer Geldzahler. If you're looking for a good book to inspire you, a good biography, the biography of Reb Lazer, it's unbelievable. Number one is Reb Shlomo Freifeld. If it's out of Kaddish Levracha. Reb Shlomo Freifeld's my favorite one. But Reb Lazer's number two. He was an awesome person. He's just an awesome person. He died in a tragic way. It was a bus accident. The driver fell asleep at the wheel, and Reb Lazer jumped up and grabbed the wheel and saved a lot of other people, but was very badly injured and then passed away a number of months later. Amish in the prime, who's a Rosh Yeshiva, had a very interesting yeshiva, very interesting types of Jew, like a Rabbi Kalish type in his own way, really an awesome person. So Reb Lazer Geldzahler in the biography, Reb Lazer Geldzahler addresses this question. Others probably say this word also, but what's the Vayakal Pekuda? He says, I'll tell you, what happened in the middle? What happened in Kisisa? The biggest avera ever, Chet HaEgel, the Chet Ayin Gimel. So you're building a beautiful bias with Hashem, Truma Tetzaveh, you're finally, we're marrying HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, and now we're building a home together. And next thing you know, lo aleinu, we're so unfaithful to Hashem, and we make a Avodah Zarah like the Chet HaEgel. So you probably figure, what? Okay, now we're done. This marriage is over. This marriage can't be saved. Kaveh Hashem. Things fell apart. Dust yourself off. Chazek v'yametz libecha. V'kaveh el Hashem. You know what the point of Vayakal Pekudah is? Is that even after a Chet HaEgel, You can still what? You can still build the Bayis with Hashem. It's a beautiful fact. You can still build the Bayis with Hashem. I'll add to it just one thing, and that is, what did we read yesterday? What did we read as our maftir on Shabbos? Shkalim. What's Shkalim? About the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. And where is Shkalim in the Torah? What psukim did we read? Where are these psukim? Beginning of Kisisa. So I want to just add a little bit to Blazer Geltzeller's word. Right? We started last Shabbos when we read Kisisa, right? We did Shkalim already. Why are we doing Shkalim again? The answer is, okay, Kisisa got off to a good start. Then things kind of fell apart with Chayda Egel. So Hashem said, so do Kisisa again. Read Parsha Shkalim. Do Kisisa again. That's Kaveh El Hashem. Chazak v'yamitz livecha. The Kaveh El Hashem. We can work this out. We can mamish work this out. I told you guys the story last week of the chassid of the Rebbe Rashab on the train? No? I guess I didn't tell it. I told it to a couple people. So there were a bunch of Hasidim that were traveling on a train. I told you this story?
I think so. And they asked, like, why does what
was your Rebbe's mofes?
He said, like, stern. Like bad advice.
I know I said it as stern, but I said it to you. I'll say it again quickly. Yeah? Some Hasidim, Mark wasn't here. Okay, so some Hasidim were traveling on a train. Right? And each one's talking about how his Rebbe is the greatest Rebbe. Everyone's got the biggest Rebbe. My Rebbe is the biggest Rebbe. Everyone's bragging, my Rebbe is the biggest Rebbe. Fine. So they turned to this one fellow who's sitting there quietly, a chassid of the Rebbe Rashab of Lubavitch, and he said, no, you have a story about your Rebbe. You're not saying anything. You don't believe in your Rebbe. He said, my Rebbe is the greatest. Okay, so news to tell him, I saw. He said, I'll tell you an unbelievable mofis, an incredible miracle story of my Rebbe. He says, I'm in business. I once had a large sum of money to invest. So I took all my money, and I went to the Rebbe, and I said, Rebbe, I'm thinking about putting it all into this one, you know, business venture. The Rebbe says, gewaldic idea, it'll be matzliach, it's a great idea. I was still nervous. He said, I went back a second time, a third time. I asked the Rebbe, are you sure? Is this, you know, it's a little bit risky? No. I give you a bracha. And every move I make by the Rebbe. So he said, I put all my money into this one business. I said, no, what happened? He said, I lost the whole thing. I lost all my money. So now the Hasidim are all excited. Like, no, okay, good. So what's the end of the story? What was the mofis? What was the miracle? He says, the miracle was that I didn't abandon my Rebbe. The miracle was I continued to be a chassid of the Rebbe Rashab. That's the miracle. My Rebbe was such a Rebbe that even after he disappointed me so much, I loved him even more. I think that's my homage to this. Kaveh El Hashem. Hashem, I believe in you. Hashem's like, that's nice. And I'm like, no, but I really, chazik, but I really believe in you. Hashem's like, oh, okay, fine. Right? Hashem says, fine, keep davening, and eventually you'll see you're not going to end up on the wrong side of the equation. That's the takeaway of the Megillah. Yes.
I get confused when it's Google. So there's this machlokia between the cook and the mouth about tefillah, and like, is this supposed to affect you, or can your tefillah really change the will of God? So how does this play into that? Because it seems that our tefillahs really do change things.
Yeah, of course. Of course, tefillah changes reality. That's why we daven, right? That's already the Rishonim asked that question. What's the point of davening? If Hashem wants you to have it, you'll have it. What are you asking for? You're asking for something. Hashem, I need more money. So Hashem says, if you're supposed to have more money, I'll have more money. What am I asking for? Hashem, I want this. I want that. If you're supposed to have it, you'd have it. The answer is no, that when you daven, right, something's changing. Now, some say what you're changing is yourself, right? You're changing yourself so that the old version of you wasn't zeicha to a shidduch. The old version of you didn't have so much wisdom. The old version of you wasn't so financially successful. The newly created version of yourself through your tefillah is a different person, right? You're right. The old person, it doesn't make sense for the old person to ask for something. The old person has what he needs. But if you change yourself, so then you change your chelek in whatever it is that Hashem wants to give you. But it works. The point is that tefillah works. How it works, exactly when it works, the message of the Megillah is that it works. Okay? Let's learn a piece of Maharal. The Maharal says in source number 5, Gemara and Megillah has different tzaddikim's introduction to their shir on the Megillah. It goes through different Talmudic personalities and how they would introduce the Megillah, right? every year I was like, you know, probably the Talmidim looked forward to the same shir every year. I was like, this was the Rebbe's opening shir on the Megillah. So Rav Masna, when Rav Masna would give his introduction to the Megillah, he would always begin the shir with the pasuk that the Rambam quoted. Right? What other nation has a God that's so close to him, to the nation? Like Hashem who's so close and so responsive to us. Says the Maharal of Prague, why was this Rav Masna's opening line in explaining the whole Megillah? And the answer is, Ratzalomar, ki hatzalas Yisrael b'geula zeh, hayim mikolach ha'tfilah. Because while tefillah obviously is an ongoing theme in all of our moments of struggle and all of our salvations, right? It's in this moment, especially when it comes to fighting a malik, that tefillah is how we win. Shayu govrim b'zeh ala malik b'tefillah. That's how we defeat a malik. Who's a malik? A malik is the world of Esav, of Edom. It's Esav in its purest form. Well, guess what? Kidichsiv hakol kol Yaakov ayadayim ide Esav. How do we understand that? Ki im ein kol kol Yaakov. If the voice is not the voice of Yaakov, then yadayim ide Esav. Aval im kol kol Yaakov ein sholten ide Esav. But when the voice of Yaakov is strong, then the hands of Esav, then the hands of Esav can't harm us. It's interesting. Maybe that's the pshat. When they're fighting against the Malik and Moshe Rabbeinu is standing on the mountain, what does it say in the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah? Based on the Psukim. It says in the Psukim, when Moshe's hands are raised up to the heavens, then what happens? We win the war. When the hands are down, we lose the war. What's the pshat, hands up, hands down? Maybe you can say, very pashut. Hands up means, Rabbeinu Shalom, take my hands. I'm giving Hashem my hands. I don't need hands. Right? Why? Because I have the kol Yaakov. When the hands are down, when I think I have hands, if I'm going to go hand-to-hand combat with Esav, you die with the Esav. I'm going to get beat up. But if I give away my hands to Hashem, and I just, instead of using my Maisa Yadayim, instead of using my hands, I use my voice, that's how you defeat Esav. Right? That's the idea of a kol Yaakov. That's what the Maharal seems to say here in his own way. Udvarim eli yaduim b'chachma, eich kol Yaakov menatzeach es amalech. Right? We know, we understand how it is that the voice of Yaakov defeats a malik. Kasher gavri yedei Moshe b'tfilaso. Right? When Moshe's hands, again, the Pashup Shabbat, Moshe's hands were raised in prayer. I'm just adding that he was giving away his hands to Hashem. And when Moshe's hands were down, then unfortunately we lose the battle. Says the Targum, in the second to last line of the Maharal, Targum translates, when Moshe raised his hands, Targum says, Kasher yarim yado, Bitsalo the Gavri Yisrael. That's our word from the Gemara. We've had a lot recently. What does salusa mean? Davening. When Moshe's hands were raised in prayer, we won. V'harei lecha ki atfila hu nitzchon shel amalek. It's about as clear a source as you're going to get. The Holy Maharal of Prague. That tfila is the way that we defeat amalek. Period. And that's what the Rambam is telling us. The message of the Megillah is what? That your prayers work. Tefillah works. Talk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, imamish works. Let's see it in the Megillah itself a little bit. Ish Yehudi hayu b'shushan abira, Shema Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish, Ish Yemini. The Megillah says, we want to introduce you to the hero of Shushan abira, alongside his Rebbetzin, the heroine, Esther Amalka. Ish Yehudi, there was a Jewish man in Shushan abira. His name was Mordechai. His father's name was Yair. His grandfather's name was Shimi. His great-grandfather's name was Kish. He's from Shevet Binyamin, Ish Yemini. Oh, I need to know his whole family tree? We don't always introduce a person in Tanakh with their entire family tree. Says the Gemara an amazing thing. Tana, source 7, Kulon al Shemo Nikra'u. It's true, Mordechai had a father's name was Yair, and he had a grandfather named Shimi, and he had a great-grandfather named Kish. But the truth is, why is Megillah telling us this? Says the Gemara, because Kulan al Shemo Nikro. All of these names actually reveals to us something about Mordechai. All of these names apply to him. What does that mean? He's Ben Yair. What does it mean, he's Ben Yair? He's a Ben Sheheir Einayim Shal Yisrael Bitfilaso. The Gemara is going to say each of these names describes Mordechai as what? As a davener. He's Ben Yair. He illuminated the eyes of the Jewish people with his tefillah. You know what that means? Va'ir Shushan Navocha. The city of Shushan was so depressed. Everyone was so depressed. The letters were sent out. Shushan is bewildered. Shushan is sad. Shushan is depressed. Who's going to put a twinkle in their eye? Who's going to put that sparkle back in the eyes of a Jew? And the answer is Mordechai. He davened in such a way that they really felt, wow, Hashem's going to save us. Even though the odds were stacked so heavily against them. But Mordechai was Heir Einayim Shel Yisrael. He put a sparkle in their eyes. Ben Shimi. Why is he Ben Shimi? Ben Sheshama Kel Tfilaso. Mordechai knew how to daven in such a way that his words, his tfilas were shama, were heard. Ben Kish, Shehikish Al Shari Rachamim V'niftechulo. That he knocked on the gates of Shemayim, the gates of mercy, and they opened up for him. Mordechai says, it's all about davening. He's Mordechai, he's Ben Yair, he's Ben Shimi, he's Ben Kish. Every part of his name, every single part of Mordechai's name is revealing what? Is revealing his essence, which is to be a davener. However, a person's name reveals their essence. We've spoken about this many times. That's Chazer, Gemara, and Brachos, top of the second side of the page. Minolan Dishma Garim. Very important Gemara. From where do we know that one's name is Garim? Has a cause and effect. How do you know a person's name actually impacts their soul, their essence? The Gemara brings a pasuk. Am Rabbi Eliezer, Damar Kra, Lechu Chazu Mif'alos Hashem. Come and see the wonders of Hashem, Asher Sam Shamos Ba'aretz. That Hashem makes Shamos. Hashem makes what? Shamos literally means desolation, destruction in the world. That Hashem could wipe out the world in a second. That shows you the power of Hashem. But the Gemara says, Al tikri shamos el shemos. You want to see the wonders of Hashem also? Realize how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to what? To make people different by assigning different people a different name. And a name somehow reveals, as we've said many times, the essence of your soul. That's what the Baal Shem Tov says. Baal Shem Tov says, if you look at the word neshama, you can see it in source 8. Neshama, the middle two letters are shem, because the inner essence of your soul is contained within your name. You got to think about your name. What does my name mean? What does the word mean? Right? Who am I named for? Who else in history had this name? What's the gematria of my name? To think about all sorts of things about your name. What does my name reveal about my essence, my kochos hanefesh? So if Mordechai is called Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, and each bit of it is saying Tfila, 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 so I guess the essence of Mordechai in a certain sense is Tfila. And that's why Mordechai, as the leader of Klal Yisrael, understood what it's going to take to save Klal Yisrael in this matzav. It's going to be davening. And that's why I wanted to show you a couple of examples. Throughout the Megillah, it's always davening. However, there's davening every step of the way. This might be the most practical point, this point I'm about to share with you. Every morning, in the second paragraph, after Esther is taken captive, hostage, held in the palace, Mordechai is what? Uvachol yom vayom, each and every day, Mordechai is walking in front of the Chatzar Beis Hanashim, Lidas as Shalom Esther, Umaye Aseba. What's with my precious Esther? At the very least, it's his first cousin who he raised. Possibly it's his wife, according to Chazal. Right? He's very nervous, taken by this monster. Right? He's rallying outside the palace. He wants to know. L'dasa shalom Esther. Maye Yosuba. What's happening with my beloved tzadekis, my Eishes Chayil? What's with Esther? However, what do you do? And this is the practical point I want to make. What do you do when you're waiting for news? Because Mordechai is waiting for news. What's with the hostages in Gaza? Is she, Lahavdil in terms of the severity of it. Will she say yes to a second date? Did I get into that medical school that I applied to? Right? Am I going to get a second interview for that job? Right? When we're waiting, person goes for going through some type of medical situation. They're waiting to get results. So what do we do? What do we do while we're waiting? So the pashup shot of the pasuk is that Mordechai is literally pacing back and forth in front of the palace, obviously very anxious, very nervous, waiting for news. Right? There's a very you know human element in that. Right? He's just like pacing around, like waiting for that, you know, hitting refresh on his email to see if, you know, did he get the acceptance letter yet, or God forbid, the rejection letter. Right? You know, keeps checking his phone and seeing if I missed a phone call. Right? That's the Pashup Shad of the Pasuk, and there's a certain humanity in that. But says the Targum, and this is one of the themes throughout the Aramaic translation of Megillah, wherever something is happening, the Targum always says, and there is davening. It doesn't say it explicitly in the Pasuk, but if you know who Mordechai is, if you know that he's a Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ishimini, then you know he's davening every step of the way. Says the Targum in source number 10, Uvechol yoma v'yoma, each and every day, Mordechai have a mitzale v'azel kadam darta dibebeis l'shaya. Mordechai is mitzale. He's davening as he walks in front of the entranceway to the base hanashim. He's not just pacing back and forth. He's got his tilm in his hand. That's a very beautiful image. An understandably very nervous Mordechai, pacing back and forth, waiting for news from the palace. What's with Esther? But he didn't stop davening with tefillah on his lips every step of the way. Not for a second does he stop davening. I find that to be so, so beautiful. And then when Esther has to go into the melech, and Mordechai says, Esther says to Mordechai, Leich chenos kol Yehudim, source number 11, hanimtsan b'shushan, get together all of the Jews who are found in Shushan, because they're a bunch of daveners, they know how to daven. I think I once read from the Ben Ish Chai, the holy Ben Ish Chai, Sefer Tzadik v'Kadosh Levracha. I think the Ben Ish Chai says the Pasuk, Kaveh Leshem, Chazak v'Yamasi Becha v'Kaveh Leshem. I think the whole Pasuk is Gematria Shushan. Let's check that for a second. Kaveh Leshem plus Kaveh Leshem, we said, is Gematria Purim. But let's check the Pasuk. So Kaveh, we have to just, what's Chazak v'Yamasi Becha? Let's get that Gematria. How much is, so we're up to 336, right? Kaveh Leshem is 168. 168 times 2 is 336. So now we have to add Chazak v'yametz libecha. So Chazak is 115. V'yametz is 147. And libecha is 52. So we got 336, 115, 147, and 52. No? Who's got the calculator? Or who's crunching the numbers? Aaron, you got it? 336, 115, 147, and 52 is how much? I'm going to guess 656. 650? 650. Interesting. Shushan. Oh, no, because I missed the vav. Vikave. Yeah, we have an extra vav. Yeah, Shushan. 656. Yeah, 656. Matria Shushan. Interesting. So Esther says, get the people of Shushan together. Right? What's Shushan? Shushan, those are the people who know how to daven. What type of people know how to daven? People who know how to kaveh el Hashem. Chazak v'yamesibecho, v'kaveh el Hashem. People who are so scared. Va'ir Shushan navocha, but they're not frozen in place. Chavi, you hear? Mordechai is so scared about Esther. He's so nervous about Esther. But what does he do? He's pacing back and forth in front of the palace, and he's davening, and he's davening, and he's davening. Esther says, go tell the people of Shushan, gather the people, v'tzumu alai, and fast for me. V'al tochlu v'al tishtu shloshes yamim laila v'yom, 3 days, no eating, no drinking. Gama niven arosai atzum kein, and I and my naros, my maidservants, will fast as well. The way Rabbi Kalish explained it last night in our shul, quoted the Nachas David, very beautiful vart. Esther was saying, if you think about me, right? Even though you're nervous for yourself, I'll think about you. Right? That's what she meant. You daven for me, tumo alai, you fast for me. Gam aniven arosai atzum ken, and I'll fast the same way. What do you mean the same way? Just like you're thinking about me, I'll think of you. When Jews think of each other, good things happen. So Esther says, let's daven for each other. And with that, I will come to the king, asher lo kadas, v'kasher avadati avadati, and what will be, will be. Says the Targum, what did Esther tell them to do? Get together and fast. But it's so obvious that the tachlis of any fast day is that what? It gets us in a mindset where hopefully we can just get in a davening mood. Says the Targum in source number 12. Right? She doesn't just say, get together and fast. She says, v'tzalu kadam mare alma, and daven before the creator of the world. How did the Aramaic know that? Of course the Aramaic knows that. Of course the Targum knows that. That's the whole point of it. Because at every step of the Megillah, there's davening. gather the Jews and fast, but of course that means pray before the creator of the universe. Okay? One final example, Chevra. Source 13. Vayi b'yom ha-shlishi, when Esther finally goes in before Ahasuerus, and she puts on her malchus, she puts on her big day malchus, and she's standing there opposite the king's throne room. And the king, Hamelech, is Yoshev al Kise Malchuso. And the king is sitting on his throne. And Esther is approaching. And you can only imagine how nervous she is. She has every reason to not be able to get any words out of her mouth. And yet the Targum once again says an unbelievable thing. Says the Targum in Source 14, V'hava b'yoma tilisa d'pischa. The Targum reminds us that when was this taking place? When was this fast? On Pesach. It was on the third day of fasting, it was on Pesach, that Esther put on her ulevashes Esther levushe malchusa. Esther put on her royal clothing, as the Gemara explains, and the Targum has it here, usheras ala ruach kudcha. She didn't just put on her garments, she put on what? She wrapped herself, she enveloped herself in a spirit of holiness, of ruach hakodesh, vikamas, and she stood, vitzalias, and she prayed. She wasn't just standing there being nervous. As she approached Ahasuerus, she had tefillah on her lips. But listen to the tefillah. This is going to blow your mind. What was she davening? Look at the last couple of words. She says, as I'm standing here in the Beis Malka, as I'm looking at the inner chamber of the king, with Hamelech Yoshev al Kisei Malchuso, Ahasuerus, the Rasha, sitting on his throne, looking at the grandeur, the beauty of his kingdom, looking at his royal throne room, Esther turns to Hashem and she whispers the following tefillah. She says, "Dimis b'nei lekovel beis malka di Yerushalayim." Know what that means? What's she davening for? As she looks at the beautiful binyan of Ahasuerus, "Dimis b'nei," that it should be built, the beis malka di Yerushalayim. She says, Hashem, in this moment where she's so in such danger, she's expecting her head to be chopped off in the next minute. Klal Yisrael is in such grave danger, and yet Esther says, when I see the king sitting on his throne, all I can think about is Rabbono Shalom. I look forward to the day that you're going to build your throne in Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh. She's davening for Beis HaMikdash. That's unbelievable. The Misbenei, right? Lekavel Beis Malka di Yerushalayim. I'm looking forward to the Misbenei, to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That is unbelievable. That's mind-blowing to me. That Esther could daven in such a way. But chaver, that's Mishnechlas Adar, Marvin Vitfila. I'll just say Pashut like this. Such a simple idea. We know that Purim and Yom Kippur have a relationship. Right? If I were to ask you, just super Pashut, what day of the year do you daven the most? Yom Kippur, no? Is there a day that you spend more hours in davening? Is there a day that you say more words to Hashem in Tfila than Yom Kippur? So you can say Pashut like this. Yom Kippur. We know that Yom Kippur is like Purim, and it's less than Purim. Which means to whatever degree you really pour out your heart before Hashem on Yom Kippur, even more so on Purim. Even more so on Purim. The whole day, you'll tell me it's a busy day, I'm running around delivering Shlach Manos, and I have the Suda. The whole Suda is a Suda of Tefillah. You sing songs, sing the words to Hashem. Just walk around all day, just whispering to Hashem. It's an unbelievable day for Daud. It's bigger than Yom Kippur. No, Baruch.
I know this isn't necessarily such like a good question, but just on a pshat level, like that mincha on Purim is probably the least like
meaty. I love the mincha on Purim.
I'm saying like I remember my mincha last year, and I was literally like on another planet. So like how can we say that it's
that's good? The Shulchan Aruch says that tefillah is supposed to be an out of body experience. So you're on another.
No, I know. It's just like hard to. It's hard to like.
I hear what you're saying. I told you it's one of the dangers of the day that we get too busy with the drinking and the suda, even if we're doing it l'shem shemayim, but sometimes it becomes an impediment to talking to Hashem. So you have to talk to Hashem. You got to talk to Hashem. Yes.
Where's like is that Midrash or Rashi that talks about like this? Oh yeah, it was during Chris Allen's suda, right? When someone's coming and Rashi like they saw like we're osik in the overness of their
father. That's right. That's right. That's our tradition. That's our Kol Kol Yaakov. That's our Mesorah. That's what we do. That's our business. That's our business. That's right. That's our profession. Right. As much as I'm a professional Jew, right? That's what we learn from Yonah. Right. Mama Lachtecha. What do you do for a living? What is the answer? Ivri Anochi. I'm a Yid, professional Jew. But even more than that, oh, you want to know my specialty in professional? Well, I'm a davener. I need tefillah. Yeah, that's my essence. Yeah.
Two things. One, I feel like you can draw the comparison between this tefillah and when Rabbi Akiva is being persecuted and all he thinks about is Israel.
That's it. That's all I can think about.
Two, I think you can also draw the comparison between that and the Marv right after Yom Kippur. How like both of those are probably the least fun on average.
So. Yeah, we got to tap into that. It's hard. I'm not denying the nisayon of all these things.
Like I growing up, I would sit next to my dad because he would always just like laugh at the Marv there. This is we just spent all day.
All right, we've gone from the height of Ni'ilah to a fast Marv. Got to get to the bagels and the orange juice and a cup of coffee. You know?
So you just
last
24 hours. You can't ask 15 minutes.
Right. Okay. That's part of that's a humbling thing. Think I could be a malach 1 second, you know, screaming Shema Yisrael, Hashem Hu Elokim, and next thing you know, I so quickly transition back to my old self. Yeah, that reminds me of Rav Huttner said. Rav Huttner once at on Purim. It's a great Torah. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules over the Atam Moshel. I'll show you the pasuk. It's going to die to hear the lashon of the pasuk. I want to get it right. I'll tell you where the pasuk is. It's a beautiful Rav Huttner. Let's see. Besogalov. 89:10. Atam Moshel Begeyus Hayam. It's in Tehillim Peites. Atam Moshel Begeyus Hayam. Hashem, you rule over the geyut, the grandeur, the gaiva of the sea. Hashem, you right? The sea is very powerful, no? The ocean's so powerful. The ocean's mamish so powerful. But Hashem, you control, you rule over the grandeur, the geyus of the yam. Biso galov atot tishabchem. Biso, like kisisa or naso. Biso, when it biso galav, when the waves rise up, atos sishabchem. What does that mean? Atos sishabchem. When the waves rise up, no. If you want to show that Hashem controls the sea, what does He do? What happens to the waves? They come crashing down, right? Atos sishabchem. You calm the waves. So Rav Huttner. Atah tisha b'chem. You calm them down. The waves look like they're rising up. They're going to conquer the world. No, see like sometimes a tsunami wave. You know, but you see like a big wave, even if it's not so big. It looks like it rises up. It's like roaring towards the shore, and then it comes crashing down. So Rav Huttner like redefined what it means to forbring at the end of Purim. So Rav Huttner once, it's written out. It's a Yiddish piece in the back of the Pachad Yitzchak on Purim. So Rav Huttner said, Tisha B'chem sounds like what? What would you think the word Tisha B'chem means? What would you think the word Tisha B'chem means? To praise, right? You rule the grandeur of the sea. When its waves rise up, you what? You praise them, right? Or maybe that, right, right, the fact that Marabu Masach Hashem, this is your praise. Rav Huttner says, Why does the word Tisha B'chem mean you calm them down, you quiet them down? And how is that the shvach? How is that the shavach? How is that the praise of the waves? Rav Huttner says, such a great word. Rav Huttner says, after Yom Kippur, if you still hold on to a little bit of Yom Kippur, it's good. No? Tshuva. Kirvas Elokus. It's good. You want to hold on to it? Good. After Sukkis, Zman Simcha Seinu, you want to hold on to a little bit of Simcha? Gevaldik. After Pesach, Zman Cheruseinu, you hold on to what? A little bit of Cherus. Beautiful. After Shavuos, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, you have a newfound relationship with Torah. Amazing. All amazing. But Rav Huttner says, but after Purim, you can't be a Purim Dickie. It's not appropriate. Maybe a shikker. Alcoholic. You know? A person who lives in a space called Adal Lo Yada. We're not supposed to live in a space called Adal Lo Yada. Right? After Purim, what happens? After Purim, it comes crashing down, right? It comes crashing down. It has to. regardless of one's state of mind. Right? The whatever Klal Yisrael Bigadol is experiencing on Purim, it's not a sustainable model for living. Right? Again, hold on to Pesach? Beautiful. You can't hold on to Purim. It's going to come crashing down. But Rav Huttner said, but as long as it's still Purim, as long as you're still in it, even though you know it's going to come crashing down, right? He said, Ich storm. I rage, I storm. He says, what's the praise of the waves? The story of the waves is mamish, the story of Kaveh El Hashem, Chazak V'yam Tzibachah V'Kaveh El Hashem. However, you think, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam, right? A Tzadik falls down seven times, it gets back up. You know how many times the waves have fallen down and gotten back up? That's all they do, all day. The praise of the waves is that the wave knows it's going to come crashing down, and yet every time it tries to pick itself up again. And it comes. That's the shevach of the waves. Right? In the Atah Tisha B'Chem, even though Hashem calms the waves down, He knocks them down, the praise of the wave is its willingness to try again. So everyone knows Purim's going to come crashing down. Why bother trying? It's an unsustainable model. And yet, when we're in it, we're in it. That's where I can just picture when they're surrounded by, you know, his chevra at the end, he made this inyan of like the, you know, Purim Tish at the end of Purim. That I can just picture everyone around him, you know, and they're putting there trying to be mechazi, like it's you know, Purim's starting to slip away. It's going to come crashing down. But as long, he said, as long as I sit by the Tish, ich storm. I'm still storming. I'm still raging. I love that. It's unbelievable. Okay, let's finish up. David HaMelech says, the second to last source, V'ani tzfilasi lecha Hashem eis ratzon Elokim barav chastecha aneni b'emes yeshecha. I want to just tell you a vart from our Rebbe, the Bnei Yisachar, the Agra Dekala, our Rebbe. He says the following. It's also from our Masechta. It says in Masechta's Brachos that you're not supposed to daven for miracles. People get confused about this sometimes. Right? Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything, but it's inappropriate to ask for a miracle. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says it's not proper to daven for a miracle. We don't ask for miracles. Right? The Gemara says that, for example, if a woman is pregnant, right? So you shouldn't ask that if it's a girl, it should become a boy, or if it's a boy, it should become a girl. You shouldn't daven that the gender should be changed. It's already determined. What do you mean? You're asking Hashem to literally swap out the baby that's already developing inside the woman? Right? It's a ridiculous feel. You're asking for something that's come out, impossible. Right? You're asking for a miracle. So we don't daven for miracles. But says the Bnei Yisachar, but there is a time that our davening is different when there is precedent that Hashem is making miracles. Right? We're going to say a bracha when we read the Megillah. What are we saying? We're saying this is a miraculous time. In a miraculous time, when Hashem already has shown that this point in the calendar year is a miraculous time, you have a different heter to ask in a different type of way. Says our Rebbe, says the Bnei Yisachar, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Va'ani tefilasi l'cha Hashem, eis ratzon. In an eis ratzon, in a time of ratzon, then I can daven differently. I can ask in a way that I don't usually ask. Right? Normally, I have to be careful to ask in a reasonable way, in a respectful way, in a practical way. I can't ask for something miraculous to happen. But in an eis ratzon, in a time of miracles, in an eis ratzon, va'anis tfilasi l'cha Hashem, my tfila goes to you, Hashem, in a different way. Elokim b'rav chastecha. Elokim b'rav chastecha, aneini be'emes yishecha. I'm more confident you're going to answer me because it's a zman of Rav Chesed. Ki yadua from the Svarim HaKadoshim, that Rav Chesed is Gematria Mordechai. Mordechai was the Rav Chesed. He was the Rebbe of Chesed. All he wanted to do was do good by Jews. Just wanted to help Yidden. So he's davening all day. Rav Chesed is 274, it's Gematria Mordechai. So in a time, when it's an eis ratzon, you can ask Hashem in a totally different way. And that's what we have in the final source, which I may have told you outside last week. But I want you to see it inside because it's such a powerful vart. Shem Yishmuel. Shem Yishmuel says in his writings on Purim, Tafresh Ayin Zayin, when Achashverosh, when Haman comes to his family, and he's all anxious about Mordechai, and his wife Zeresh says, "No, so go kill Mordechai, get rid of him." Right? And she says to him, in the final source, "Uvaboyker emor lemelech v'yistu as Mordechai alav." In the morning, you'll go tell the king that you want to hang Mordechai on your gallows. Ask the Shem Yishmuel, what? Emor lemelech? You're going to go to Achashverosh and you're going to just say to him you're killing Mordechai? You don't say to a melech. I don't care if you even have his ring. You got the signet ring. Listen to this. David, you made it to hear this word. It's kedai. V'yesh ledaktik shalok siv tevakesh o tish'al me'amelech. Notice, the pasuk doesn't say you're going to go and request of the king. You're going to ask of the king. It says, emor lemelech. Tell the king. You don't tell a king. You don't tell a king. You ask a king. When Esther is having her party with Achashverosh, what does he say? He says, no. What's your she'ela? What's your bakasha? What's your request? You don't say to a king. You wait to be given permission to ask. And Mrs. Haman says to Haman, go tell the king. Go tell him. Go say to the king. You don't say to a king. And when Haman actually shows up, that's what he does. V'chein lekaman. V'haman ba l'chatzar beis ha-melech. When Haman comes to Achashverosh's house, he's standing there. What's he doing there? Leimor lemelech, to say to the king. Litlos es Mordechai la'eitz, asher heichin lo. I'm here to hang Mordechai. Mordechai is, first of all, Achashverosh is one of his, you know, most trusted officials. And you're going to just march in and say to Achashverosh? You don't say to a king. B'chevra, there's a secret in that. What's the secret in that? The secret is that on Purim, a person has a little bit of a different type of reshus to say to the king, to tell Hashem what you really want. To say, Rabbono Shalom, I insist, I demand. I'm not asking, I'm demanding. I always go back to when my nephew, Nassan Feigenbaum, was a little kid. So my brother-in-law, Olive Shalom, Chaim, my brother-in-law passed away from leukemia many years ago now. So he was one time he was singing with his son. He was singing, we want Mashiach now, we want Mashiach now. Right? So he said, we want Mashiach, and he paused and he said to his son, like, you know, what's the next word? So my nephew Nassan, he said, please, we want Mashiach, please. His parents were teaching him to be respectful. Right? So he thought like, no, what do we say? We say please. So we want Mashiach, please. Right? So I remember when Chaim told me this, I said, that's a good kasha. It's a chutzpidik song. Right? We want Mashiach now. Who talks like that? The answer is, when you're asking for Mashiach, you don't want Mashiach, please, Hashem, when you get around to it. No. We want Mashiach now. We don't want to wait. Right? It's a little bit of Azaz to Kedusha. It's holy chutzpah. It's called holy chutzpah. So on Purim, Emor Lamelech. If all year round we have to tiptoe around Hashem, if you don't mind, if you're not too busy, if you could put in a good word for me. You know, I have a big job interview coming up. You know, getting closer with the shidduch, things are, you know, or I'm going through a hard time, Hashem, if you don't mind, if you can make things a little easier for me, whatever it is, right? That's the rest of the year. On Purim, what happened to Haman? Haman was megala this kalach of Emor Lamelech. What happened to Haman? I'll tell you what happened to Haman. V'nahafachu. Which means Haman goes to the gallows, not Mordechai, and who gets to Emor Lamelech? We do. Says the Shem Yishmuel, the last four lines. U'mikan kol ish maschil. Every wise person, Yosim Alibo, take to heart. Understand this truth. Heyos beis Haman niten lester. When the house of Haman was transferred, right? When the title and the deed, the lease, was given over to Esther and Mordechai. And role reversal. Instead of the Jews being slaughtered, we go on the attack and we kill our enemies. Uvechol Purim misor reshimo mizeh. And every Purim there is an awakening of what? Reshimo, a trace of this. Of this Emor Lamelech. Says the Shem Yishvul, the last two lines of Ha'oz Bekoach Kol Ish Yisrael, Leimor Lemelech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Jew can say to Hashem, not ask of Hashem. On Purim, that's part of the, we lower our inhibition through the Yayin, Mishnichlas Yayin Yatsa Sod, we let the secrets of our heart out. We say, Hashem, I'm not speaking to you necessarily from a place of mind, of rationality. I'm speaking from a place of emotions. And I pour out my heart and I say, Melech Malchei Hamlachim, Here's what I demand of you. Look how I love how he writes it. Lislo says Haman. It's time, Hashem, to hang Haman once and for all. V'limchos es Shemo, and to eradicate his name. Mitoch libo shol atzmo al kol panim. At the very least, Hashem, get the Amalek out of my heart. Kill the Amalek within me. All right? Destroy that part of me that's not sure if tefillah works. The message, the takeaway of Purim, Yishnichlas Adar, Marvin b'tefillah. It's to daven different, to start talking more straight to Hashem, more honest with Hashem, and to believe that lehodia, again, the lehodia of Purim, is what? Is that our tefillos are going to be answered. It's guaranteed. That's what the Rambam says. The promise of the Torah is true. The avtach of the Torah is true. That mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krov me love. Is there any other nation that has a God that's so close, like a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael? In the words of the Maharal, ki atfila hu nitzchan shel malik. That's how you defeat a malik. Nope. So we should be zocha. We should be zocha to believe in our koch atfila. And we should be zocha to eradicate a malik once and for all. Hey, Misha, 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 Misha,